This is KVNS Regional Newscast for Thursday, October 13th. I'm Kate Redmond in for Gavin Dahl. Owners of the San Juan Cinema in Montrose are considering reopening the theater. The Montrose Press reports the first-run cinema has been closed since March 2019. The owners of the San Juan Cinema and the Fox Theater stayed solvent with funding from the Shuttered Venue Operators Grant Program and an economic injury disaster loan from the Small Business Administration. They told the newspaper they will watch closely the next few months if moviegoing bounces back here and the film industry's fluctuating release schedule normalizes. Aspen resident Jackie Francis, founder and director of the nonprofit Global Warming Mitigation Project, will be attending the upcoming United Nations Climate Change Conference, known as the COP, in Glasgow, Scotland. Francis has put together a delegation of 9 others to participate. COP, which stands for Conference of Parties, is a large international climate change conference usually held annually. It is coordinated by the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, which consists of 196 countries and the European Union. The Aspen Daily News reports the Paris Agreement, an international treaty on climate change, was negotiated at the COP21 event in 2015. The agreement's long-term goal is to keep the rise in mean global temperature below 2 degrees Celsius to mitigate the impacts of climate change. The Delta County commissioners were asked at their planning meeting last week to rezone a parcel of land just outside of Hotchkiss next to the highway. The plan is to allow Quickie Tires to disengage from 4 other subdivided lots so they can pursue financing for upgrades. Further down the road, those 4 lots can include industrial businesses with an eye toward economic development. Nearly a year has passed since Delta County adopted the land use code. The Board of County Commissioners last Tuesday was asked by a developer for a rezoning for the first time. Denny Wilson, co-owner of Quickie Tires, came before the commissioners asking to rezone and subdivide into 5 lots a 12.4-acre parcel along Highway 133 north of Hotchkiss near Quickie Tires. It is currently zoned as A20, agricultural. They are not only asking the county to rezone it as rural industrial commercial, but they are also asking county taxpayers to foot the bill to reconfigure the road. Here is Wilson speaking at the county commissioners meeting last week.
We estimated about $125,000 just to bring the road up to a gravel standard. It's got to be partnerships with the county, us, and the state. But any other development we do with this, we think it benefits the whole community plus us better. If we have that access, we don't really look to do anything else with this, but the commercial side of this, instead of agriculture, we really need to be zoned commercial.
This stretch of Highway 133 is notoriously dangerous. A traffic report was done by CDOT in 2019 when they proposed turn lanes, acceleration lanes, and other major changes at a price tag of $1.4 million. How do you solve America's affordable housing crisis? Some want to build their way out of the problem, but there are other ways to make homes more affordable. One government effort may have benefits beyond just housing if it can get off the ground. KBUT's Christopher Biddle has more.
Sometimes it's called home rehabilitation, or an energy upgrade, or a retrofit. We're going to call it weatherization. Details vary, but the basic idea is to use government money to pay for energy upgrades to homes. It's money well spent, according to the Biden administration. The president's infrastructure plan calls for $213 billion for weatherization efforts. That could be of use in the town of Crested Butte, where a pandemic-boosted economic crisis has housing at its center. By the end of the summer, 15% of jobs go unfilled, and local officials fear the fall and winter could be worse.
It's a very tight rope for this community to function, and we're missing it.
Troy Russ is the Crested Butte Community Development Director. He breaks the cost of living into 3 categories: transportation, basic essentials, and housing.
And that would include the cost of energy towards housing.
And at 8,000 feet or more, Crested Butte can get cold in the winter, very cold.
What we're finding is the housing costs are simply dominating the budget, so there's no savings going on. There's very little insurance. It's skewing people's ability to live here.
That's a familiar story to Josh Schumacher.
I'm not very good at budgeting.
Josh provides vital work to the community. He used to be a chairlift mechanic at the local ski resort. Now?
I fix rich people's toilets.
Okay.
Josh moved here in the 90s and says that recently more and more of his peers are being priced out while he's figured out ways to stick around. That includes owning a deed-restricted home, and that made him eligible for the town's Green Deed Weatherization Program. Through Green Deed, Josh scored a new fridge and a fresh layer of insulation. As winter approaches, he's hoping the upgrades will provide some relief to an electric bill that's broken at $900 in the past.
I mean, I'm kind of like a lot of people here. I live virtually paycheck to paycheck still.
We have a serious income gap. We have a serious resiliency gap, and that's what I'm trying to help with.
Giza Michael designed the Green Deed program and a similar countywide effort for income-qualified homes called Gunnison Valley Heat, or GV Heat. Studies show that lower-income households usually put more of their money towards energy costs, which means they often get a better return on their upgrades. Last year, GV Heat saved an average of just over $460 per household. But savings are often seen as just a secondary benefit to weatherization. Crested Butte adopted its program originally as part of its climate action plan, and the Biden administration says targeted weatherization efforts will offset racial and economic divides and boost quality of life for the poorest Americans. With all those benefits, you'd think the idea would have taken off already. But according to the Brookings Institute, only 2% of the nearly 40 million eligible American homes are actually weatherized every year. Biden's plan will most likely provide some boost, and then people like Giza Michael will still have to figure out how to spend the money, but she's probably already got a plan in place.
You can't only just throw funding at something, you also need to build capacity.
Hard as it is to hire in any American industry right now, weatherization programs across the country have struggled for years. In another very cold place, veteran nonprofit Efficiency Vermont turned from contracting to hiring and training its own workforce. For projects in Gunnison and Crested Butte, where new construction dominates the attention of the workforce, Michael has to hire a team from the Alamosa Energy Resource Center, some 4 hours away.
So the old insulation, and this is, the old insulation was this high. So that's how much.
Josh Schumacher shows me around his upgrades. It's a Thursday, but he's all Friday vibes as he packs his truck for a camping trip. In the glow of the evening sun, it's obvious that Josh, fixer of rich people's toilets, enjoys a high quality of life.
I've moved up the food chain as far as where I'm at financially. Now I'm finally at, I don't want to say comfortable, but I'm finally paying my bills with something left over so I can actually enjoy life.
For Josh, a government-sponsored weatherization program was just part of that puzzle and something that may soon be available to many more Americans trying to get by. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Christopher Biddle.
That does it for today's newscast. I'm Kate Redmond.